Welcome, time travelers, to episode 48 of the Nerd Stravaganza podcast, where time is of the essence until it isn't. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
And that was a little inside comedy because I pushed for the guys to start this show early today, and then we ended up starting right on time. So it just goes to show time travel is beyond our capability, and so is time management. Beyond mine, anyway. Speaking for myself. We've got an episode planned for you tonight all about time travel. It was inspired by all the nostalgia we felt during last week's episode when we had our guest Brian Dalrymple on from Adventure Game Store. But before we jump into that subject, I think we should travel back one week in time and let everybody know what's been going on in our lives with our usual geekly weekly update. Ricky, why don't you take us back?
All right, Tom, let's punch in for boop, 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 boop. A couple days ago, and I attended an anniversary party of sorts. Man, we're all about the local game hangouts in our show lately, and I attended the 20th anniversary of Tate's Comics and Games and More. And they did one of their world-famous gigantic tent sales. And this year, they added something a little special, which they haven't done in the past, which was a tent for their gaming satellite. So, I was all up in arms about getting there nice and early, which I actually did. I set my time travel device to make sure I would be tardy and manage my time perfectly to show up and scored some sweet deals. One of which is a board game that we've been looking at getting for quite some time to play on our Nerdganza Ganzoid game nights. A little game called Leviathans. It's these big, gigantic, steampunky, alternate history, air-fighting, steam battleship badassness. I don't know how better to describe it than that. But they're not dirigibles, they're not zeppelins, they're literally battleships in this alternate history. The world got sick of fighting on water, and they discovered some type of thing to make these ships fly, so now they fight above the seas in retrofitted battleships and stuff. I scored another game called Dreadfleet, which takes place in the Warhammer fantasy realm, and then I picked up some miscellaneous Malifaux parts. Not like I don't already have completely not even opened Malifaux factions, and another that's only half painted. So I added another faction of Seahoffman, which is this steampunky half-cyborg guy, and a bunch of miscellaneous creatures to throw into an army with him. And a good time was had by all. There was some other cool stuff, but I'm sure the other guys will touch on it. So have at it, boys.
Okay, we're back in the present. That was a cool blast from the past. Brian, why don't you fire up the time machine and let us know what you did during the past week?
I did much the same. I didn't show up quite as early to Tate's 20th anniversary tent sale, but I showed up. I got some good stuff. They had some Malifaux left over, and I didn't need anything, but I bought a lot of it because it's pretty cool stuff. Bought one of the cool expansions for a game that we played a few weeks ago, Mansions of Madness. They had a super sweet deal on that. I'm looking forward to seeing even more crazy stories. Oh, the back room at AGS. We were lucky enough to score that for Saturday night. Sat down, enjoyed a little private time in our favorite location. Played Star Wars RPG that we've been talking about for 4 months. Made up characters and stuck there. So we bought the beginner's set with pre-made characters and a little module adventure. Had a lot of fun with that. Showed a few friends how to play. It was Rick's first time actually role-playing, and it was April's first time actually role-playing. And I think everybody had a good time with that. I was pretty excited, pretty happy by it.
I cannot agree more. I waited a long time for that. It was worth the purchase. That was my last and final cool score of the Tate sale. What about you, Tom? What'd you do last past future past? What did you do in Days of Future Past?
Well, first of all, I guess I can dispense with the time travel sound since Brian didn't see fit to make any of his own. I'll just journey back. I'll just snap back in time instantly and let you know what I've been up to. As usual, there's a lot of overlap with my Geekly Weekly update. I went to the Tate sale, scored some pretty sweet anime DVDs there, had a great time with that. Did have our first session in the AGS Dragon's Lair back room, which was really awesome. Got to be the GM for that starter Star Wars RPG game, and that was really cool. I haven't GM'd in a while, and I forgot how much I enjoy it. I enjoy being a GM more than I enjoy playing. And I kind of always had one all the way back to when I was a kid, so I guess it kind of makes sense. I don't know why. I think just because I like to spin yarns, as it were. And let's see, on the gaming front, I finally beat Final Fantasy 13.
Yes.
Got that off my list and decided I didn't want to go do the further monster hunting missions because I picked up Monster Hunter for the Wii U. And I can now go monster hunt on my Wii U with friends. In addition, with the epic slog that was Final Fantasy 13 out of the way, I jumped right into another role-playing game called Ni No Kuni, which has so far proven to be awesome. That's also on the PlayStation 3, and I will report on that as I make progress through it. I'm already liking it better than Final Fantasy 13 because it's more traditional RPG, towns and exploration, that kind of thing. So can't complain about that. So far, I think that pretty much puts the icing on my weekly geekly cake. And thank you for the sound, sir. And those time machine sounds that were courtesy of Rick are very appropriate because tonight's episode, as you know, as we've mentioned, is about time travel. And in popular films and stories, time travel is often facilitated by machinery that makes really cool noises. For some reason, the truth is probably that time travel would be silent and like instant. I'm thinking you wouldn't even notice it, but it's cool to think there's going to be all kinds of like storms and warp sounds accompanying it.
But people get pissed off if there's not sound effects, right?
I don't know who those people might be. I mean, I don't. It doesn't bother me at all. I can accept that time travel could be a silent phenomenon.
As a synthesizer player, there needs to be sounds. Otherwise, My ancestors would have been out of jobs back in the day.
when time travelers eventually visit me, silently, I'm going to ask them, you know, why were there sounds with your machine? Well, we had to put those in, so stupid people like you, they're just sound makers, but people like you can't accept that it's a quiet process. Speaking of time travel and machinery, though, I guess that gets us into the opening portion of our discussion, which is what our experiences are with time travel, be they in movies, books, or actual time travel. I'm assuming the last category is going to be pretty sparse. Do we have any memorable films or books or really any source material regarding time travel that we want to highlight? Ricky, why don't you go first?
I have never been a huge fan of the time travel.
Hmm.
Interesting, right?
Yeah.
I think it's because every time I've ever seen it in a movie, it always leads to some type of shenanigans. Some kind of Scooby-Doo logic always happens. So, I actually refer to it as the Flintstone twist. But
love that song.
It's never been one of my favorite things, but, you know, how can you hate, and this is the obvious of all obvious choices, you know, Back to the Future kind of changed my mind a little bit on it back in the day. That was a good one that I liked. And more recently, the Doctor Who series. But do I have anything specific that stands out? No. Just, I believe in the movie Millennium. Do you guys remember that movie? Something about like a 747 gets lost in time. Still to this day, and when Keith listens to this, he's going to laugh his ass off. I'm still confused by that movie, and I need to watch it again because it's been decades of indecision and confusion as to what actually happens in that movie. So that's my high point of confusion, and my high point of enjoyment were probably the other two I mentioned. But I will, because I'm short on content, I will throw out a little bit of trivia about time travel. You guys ready for this?
Hit us.
There's a show back in the 70s called Land of the Lost.
It was on
Saturday morning TV, and some of you may remember this, may only know this, not from remembering it from its original run, but it was also a Will Ferrell movie a few years ago. Well, I was fortunate or unfortunate enough to grow up with the same name as the leading character, Rick Marshall, of Land of the Lost. So maybe that's why I never liked time travel.
Boy, were you given enough, like, maybe not teased, but were you annoyed enough with, oh my god, like from Land of the Lost? Oh,
yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it wasn't so much teasing as it was, well, what do you mean you gotta go home? You gotta go home because you gotta kill Sleestaks?
That'd be like being named like Wesley Crusher in the late 80s or early 90s.
No, actually, Chaka's coming over for dinner, so I gotta get the hell out of here. Shouldn't shut your mouth.
Chaka, Sleestaks. Wow. Well, cool, cool. How about you, Brian? What do you have in the way of memorable pieces of time travel-related fiction or real-life experiences?
No real-life experiences that I'm allowed to speak about. The first... I'm so disappointed. I cannot remember the name of this film. But I fell in love with time travel back... It was mid-80s, and it was the age of independent television when, like, there were actually channels that wouldn't show the exact same thing every other channel showed. And they would always do, like, incredibly cheap 80s B-movie Saturdays. And there was a time travel movie where a bunch of geeks got together and did a little science experiment, and they wound up creating a hole in the universe and traveling back, and they brought through a dinosaur, a T-Rex, into well, I mean, it's the past now, but it was their present. And you cannot appeal to me any more than geeks and dinosaurs, even when I was that young.
Even in Jurassic Park 3?
You know what? I really like... what's her name? Taya Leone?
Yeah.
I'll deal with 3. Don't make it 2 to me.
I have no idea what movie that is. It sounds so familiar, but so vague at the same time.
The plot certainly sounds familiar.
I mean, it's not The Gate, right? That was Demons.
Right. I can like practically see the VHF's cover with the cheesy blue portal and the T-Rex's head poking out.
Let's go to Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Pause the show.
That was my first time travel experience, and I've kind of been hooked ever since. I think it's a neat concept. And as I've grown up, my exposure to it's grown up a little bit more, and it's actually way cooler than just going back and fetching T-Rexes. You can do a lot more than just that with it.
What about Tom? Any super faves on the horizon, movies, books, or otherwise?
Well, other than future me having just come here while we were taping the show and imparting the knowledge that tomorrow will be Wednesday, I don't have any time travel experiences to report on a personal level.
At least I know future. Bullshit. I didn't hear anything.
Well, I muted the microphone. I wasn't going to... I mean, he shows up blabbing. I got to tell you something. What? Tomorrow's Wednesday. That's all. You had a whole day to think about this?
So, President Tom's like, fuck that guy.
I think he was just so flabbergasted that time travel actually worked that he may have had more to say, but then I shot him. In all seriousness, though, I'm a fan of the Terminator series of science fiction movies. I'm a fan of Terminator 1 and 2, I guess I should say.
Oh, see, you caught me. That's why I can never go first. You're right. That was a good one. I like that one. Go ahead.
Yeah, those were cool. Just the whole premise that, like, these killer robots sent assassin robots back to, like, win this war that they weren't winning in the future. Just, like, a really cool, like, time travel premise. I also liked the basic lift of that premise that Star Trek First Contact pulled, not First Contract. Although I suppose they contracted to lift the same premise. Basically, instead of the machines from the Terminator universe, the machines from the Star Trek universe go back in time to Borgify Earth before humans become a deep spacefaring people. And Picard and the gang have to go back in time to stop all that and ensure that the first warp drive launch is successful, etc. Also a very cool movie. I am also a fan of Doctor Who. It's cool, even though the time travel is... No, I shouldn't say it. The time travel is pretty integral to it. I was going to say it's just a vehicle to launch you from one episode, or one setting to another, but no, the time travel is fairly integral to the series, so mm-hmm. I won't take anything away on that count. Very recently... of course, there's also the Back to the Future and the far more campy Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which I liked as a kid but haven't seen in years, so I might very well hate now. Don't know.
I doubt that. That was totally lovable.
It was then, and I'm sure it is now. In the 80s, there was also a military movie called Final Countdown, where a 1980s modern aircraft carrier goes back in time to like World War II era and comes really close to engaging the Japanese fleet that's going to bomb Pearl Harbor. And, of course, the dilemma is, do we intervene and change the timeline? Oh, it's our duty as an American ship. We have to defend America, blah, blah, blah. That was a cool movie. And finally, far more recently, I recommend the movie Looper if you are into the concept of time travel and into Bruce Willis. Good movie.
That movie looked awesome.
It was.
I'm going to throw back a couple. This is going to get me no machismo cred or nerd cred or anything. But Peggy
Sue. Leopold.
Peggy Sue Got Married was a time travel movie that I liked back in the 80s. And then do you guys think... All right, my all-time favorite movie up there right next door to Star Wars is Close Encounters, and there's some pretty badass time travel-y type of stuff that happens in that movie, like when the guys drop off that fleet of airplanes in the middle of the desert, and then these people that were taken back in like the 1920s and 40s and earlier are all returned. Stuff like that. That counts as time travel, right?
It kind of does, because it all has to do with relativity. And because those people traveled so far and fast, a bunch of time passed here.
Right.
Relatively little time passed for them. So, I mean, I guess that is technically proper time travel.
Yeah, because they traveled in time, but mainly because of speed, I guess.
Right, right. I don't understand physics well enough to be able to articulate any better than I just tried to do, but I believe going very fast for a very long distance and then coming back would see Earth very far advanced, but time relatively briefly elapsed for you.
Okay, so it's not Back to the Future time travel, but since it's Close Encounters, we'll excuse it and we'll allow it in the show. Now,
that's yeah, absolutely
very sci-fi-y time travel. I'm a,
right.
I vote yes.
Now, what about Flight of the Navigator?
Flight of the Navigator is the one where the kid from Fort Lauderdale is...
Yep, yep.
Like, isn't he... He's picked to be like a... he's in
flash
that...
Drive.
Go refresh my memory exactly about the plot of Flight of the Navigator, because I often confuse it with another movie called The Last Starfighter. Those two are mixed up in my mind, even though they shouldn't be.
Flight of the Navigator was abducted by the friendly robotic alien, and he basically used his brain to store like the star drives.
Oh yeah,
I don't know. It was a systems failure,
mm-hmm.
So he had to re-kidnap the kid to download all the coordinates to get back to his home. But then he actually like really, really time traveled back to drop off the kid. Spoiler alert, apparently.
And where is this kid located?
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale.
Wow, right in the Nerd Extravaganza's backyard.
The thing I think is weird is that it says, in 1978, a boy winds up 8 years into the future and discovers an alien spaceship brought him there. That's the part I don't remember from this movie, and I love this movie. So what am I missing here?
Well, I'm missing what the big deal was about 1986. Oh, I'm 8 years into the future. What has changed? Huh. Okay.
I think it might have been like Close Encounters where he got picked up. That's what it was. He got picked up earlier, but since he was traveling, he was the same age. Because now his younger brother was older than him and stuff like that. Anyway, Flight of the Navigator. And it's a Disney movie. Boom! There you go.
And it has that cute little pocket alien.
Yeah, that thing was cool.
It's all coming back to me now. It's all coming back to me.
And I think Jessica Horseface girl was in it. What's her name?
Jessica
Rabbit? The one from Sex and the City.
Oh, Jessica Parker. Jessica Parkface. What's her name? She has like three first names.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
There you go. She had three first names, like I said.
And Pee Wee Herman did the voice of the ship.
Sarah Jessica Parker Lewis Can't Lose is her full name. Yeah, I will have to. I'll have to watch that Flight of the Navigator again. I need to refamiliarize myself with that movie because I remember liking it a lot. But it's for some reason, Last Starfighter just like blew it out of my head, and also Enemy Mine for some reason with Lou Gossett Jr. as a lizard man.
See, Enemy Mine and Last Starfighter to me feel like the same movie.
Right.
Weren't they both based on somebody being good at video games? They're both ripoffs of Ender's Game in a way.
I don't think Enemy Mine had anything to do with video games, but it seems like it should have.
I thought it did. Oh well. We're going to have to go back in time and do this show better.
How do we know we haven't already done that? Besides, we can't now. We'll mess up the space-time continuum.
Yeah, and I might get erased from my hard drive. Damn it.
Speaking of which, I find the whole "you'll mess up the space-time continuum" thing to be like the most annoying feature in any time travel movie that involves somebody traveling to our present from the future or somebody from our present traveling to the past. What the hell is the point if you can't change anything?
Did you ever see Butterfly Effect? That's why you can't change anything.
I did see that. That's the one where you make one tiny
little
adjustment and the whole world goes haywire, right?
Yeah, that was actually a pretty cool movie. I guess I like time travel movies or time F-up movies more than I thought I did.
So, let me ask you this. What's better? Given the peril that exists when you go back in time, what's better, traveling to the past where you have like basically omnipotent knowledge because you know all the events that are going on already, or traveling to the future where it's all new to you?
I need a minute to chew on that one.
I'll go then. I'm a fan of traveling forward.
I guess
I'm selfish. I wouldn't want to go back and give people amazing discoveries before they were supposed to have them. I want to see the cool stuff we develop.
Yeah, traveling forward seems like a much more selfish endeavor, right? Because basically a caveman shows up like, "Hey, I'm from the past." Ah, great. Another dummy from the past.
Encino Man.
Right. Oh, boy. Well, all right. Let's get your brain upgraded for one thing. I can't talk to a monkey.
Is that racist? I don't even know.
I don't know. I think you... if you got there and they called you a monkey because you're so dumb and you said that was racist, the concept of racism would seem so antiquated to them, they would just call you, like, a double monkey. Racism? Are you kidding me? Who's even heard of that these days? Everyone's gray now.
All right, but the problem with... All right, not necessarily a problem, but that'll come later. But speaking on what you just said, you want to go to the future to see what they've come up with. But if you went to the past and brought something with you, like Brian had mentioned, gave them some type of discovery, then came back to your normal time, you actually would be in the future, because you have changed the timeline of technology by bringing something back to an olden time where it didn't exist yet. So therefore, everything that happened from the time you went back to your present has now changed and technologically advanced. So now, what do you have? Therefore, you can travel to the future by traveling to the past, my friends.
Oh, that's right. You basically go in and insert footage in the past, thereby pushing the entire film reel forward. I like it. I like it. And that gives me an excellent idea for the next segment I want to discuss, which is, where would you go and what would you do? Here's what I would do. I would take my Xbox 360 and go back to 1982. And I would give them my Xbox 360 and be like, work from here. And then I would come back to my present time and go into GameStop and like see my handiwork unfurled before me.
Hmm. Now, when you go back in time, just so I can be clear on this, when we're going back in time right now, are we going back and reliving our own timeline back then? Or are we going back like Back to the Future where we're both there?
We're going back in time. Like, okay, the only thing I would do, yeah, you yourself are going back in time to the past, right? So the only thing I would do, this is a pretty good premise for like an absurd story or movie. I'm only going back in time to advance video games because I want them to be better in my present time. And maybe I want to like beat up a bully or two that mess with you when I was a kid. But that's it. I'm not tinkering with anything else.
And who are you going to take this game to? Who are you going to take the system to?
I'm going to go to Billy Mitchell and Steve Wiebe, the inventors of Pong.
Nice!
who were like 7 years old at the time. Are you an alien? Yeah, kid, here, invent this. No, I think I would go back to like the Lords of Atari or something and be like, all right, listen, let me just lay it all out for you. Because they would believe you. They're the type of guys who would be like, okay, we're such nerds that this is plausible.
Exactly.
What an absurd premise for a story, though. Because think of all the havoc that would wreak on the timeline.
Well, I mean, seriously, though, like what kind of show would it be if we like waxed intellectual about where we would go into a historical point in time and witness the grace and glory, blah, blah, blah.
It would be a pretentious hipster douche show is what it would be.
Exactly. I guess we're skipping my segment.
I'd go back to when the fucking Hindenburg crashed with a bag of marshmallows and some sticks, motherfucker.
Now, Brian, oh, sorry, we put Brian off. He was about to go back and, like, you know, intervene in the War of the Roses or something.
Oh, dude, I'm loving all of the flashbacks. War of the Roses, Parker Lewis can't lose. This is awesome.
War of the Roses is a double flashback to a historical event and a funny movie featuring the guy that was Batman.
Exactly. All right, go ahead, Brian.
Go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
No, I was totally teasing. I'm not even sure. I would probably go back and just bring a ton of lolcats named like Jenna Jameson strips or Tia Carrera topless and see what I could fuck with the internet. I'm gonna spend 8 hours downloading porn. What the fuck's a snozberry?
So you would introduce modern memes to the past internet?
Why not? I like lolcats.
Well, what that would mean is lolcats would have run their course by the modern day. We would have like lol lions now or something.
Hmm. See, now I'm going to jump back on Tom's thing. And of course, I mean, you're going to the guys in Atari, so I approve. I'm not even going to mess with that fantasy. I'm not even going to try to make it better because I can't. But to go back to my travel to the past to have a better present/future. Let's take some internet technology back. See, I don't know if we could though, because the internet technology is big. It's not like something I can just put in my pocket. Unless, of course, it was like
the concept would blow minds.
Unless it was like 1998, yes. where you could just buy a computer that had the internet in it. Remember that?
does this come with the internet?
Includes the internet.
It sure does. Whole internet.
The entire internet in this box.
What do I need a phone for? Because the internet likes to call other internet sometimes.
I thwarted my own plan, so. But yeah, I guess the concept. But like, I don't have the. Well, I guess I could download some documents and stuff and
bring it
back, and there'd be people that would be able to understand it better than I would be able to explain it with modern day schematics and whatnot. They could figure it out.
The biggest challenge they would face would be like manufacturing on the small scale to duplicate it. But the principles, if you brought back white papers and blueprints, and enough, and at least a few physical specimens, they could extrapolate from that. And yeah, right. You push things forward for sure.
And then present day. So that means if we do this tomorrow, like I could do some research tonight and then I'll hop into the machine, I'll go back. That means by next week's show, we'll be recording Star Wars style holograms through completely. Oh, well, we already do wireless, so I guess that's not that big of a deal. Never mind. It's the speed. It's all about the speed.
Think about all the like the just utterly selfish and like meaningless changes you could make to the past.
The thing that I like is that, you know, we haven't traveled down the obvious
get go back rich, and buy stocks.
Yeah, the get rich quick or steal somebody's idea. It's more like make something better. It's totally, you're right, Tom, it's totally selfish.
This is like a Seinfeld-esque use of time travel for like just some very trivial, like trifling reason you go back in time.
I'd go back and buy Smurf cereal.
I don't want to wait for George Martin to make the next Ice and Fire novel, so I'm going to go back and make him start writing them 10 years earlier, right. So they're done by now.
Right, like I don't want to see what Disney's going to do with Star Wars, so I'm going to go back and make it already have happened. By giving the stuff to everything, yeah, just shift everything back like 15 years.
I'm going to go back to 1997 after George Lucas gets done re-releasing all the original movies and then have Disney call him up and make him an offer he can't refuse before he makes the prequel movies.
Oh my God, that would be good. That would be good.
Because those re-releases with certain honeycomb scenes notwithstanding were pretty good. That was pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah, see? You don't have to use time travel to help humanity. That never ends well. You can't kill Hitler. Everybody knows that. That causes all kinds of horrible things to happen. But better video games and movies? Who could argue with that?
You can't, because we're just bringing a better level of future entertainment by injecting it into the past. Because we're not really changing anything. We're just letting it happen a little earlier.
Right. Right.
We're shifting our own timelines in benefit. Oh, but then again, oh no, but see, it's win-win because, like, we could say, all right, well, Tom goes back and gives the guys from Atari the an Xbox 360 and a PlayStation and says, here you go, guys, have at it.
Yeah.
One would think, oh, well, now poor little, you know, 10-year-old, 12-year-old little Ricky is going to miss out on his grand love of the Atari 2600. But I'm not, because I've already had that. That experience isn't going to change for me now.
Now, that's an interesting point, though.
Or would it?
I think the PlayStation 3 or whatever they were able to put together based on that technology prototype you brought them would replace that memory. But you'd still have the memory of gaming during that era.
Because I lived through it once already. So when that timeline changes... Does my memory change?
Oh, if you're the time traveler, you get both sets of memories.
Because, right, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, man, you get double memories. Double memories of the exact same time. Your brain would, like, explode with joy.
See, now that's bad. That'd be a good movie.
Yeah, it would. Let's make it.
Exploding with joy?
No, like...
Well, how did Marty McFly handle it? Because he came back and he knew that he traveled in time, didn't he?
For some reason, all of his like internal conflicts were played out on Polaroids, like either developing or not developing in his hand. So he didn't have any like memory conflicts with his brain remembering two different versions of things at the same time.
But that's probably what would happen, though.
What, that your brain would explode, or?
Yeah. No, that we'd live on Polaroids.
Marty, you've got to transfer your memories to Polaroids. Yeah, Ricky, you'd have to bring a lot of film back in time with you.
You go to the hospital, and instead of looking at your chart, they're just looking at a fading Polaroid. I don't know. I don't know how much longer he's got to live.
He better fix time, or this isn't going to work out well. Oh, wait a minute. Doctor, what's wrong? He screwed up my timeline. Now I'm disappearing. Sorry, Doc. I'll get right on that.
Yeah, okay. The double memory thing. I'm going with that.
I like double memory. I think we've got our geeky book concept down, guys. I think this could be our Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Triflin Time Traveler starring the Nerd Stravaganza. Brian, what do you think? You're the author among us.
I'm thinking you'd come back kind of ignorant. I think you'd have the original memory and have to relearn the altered memory, which I know kind of kills the conversation, which is why I was being a little quiet. But
so you would the playing the PlayStation 3, which had been delivered to the 1980s, would be your dominant memory, but you have this repressed memory of playing the Atari as well, right?
No, I think it's the opposite. You wouldn't remember playing the PlayStation 3. I think you'd remember playing the Atari.
People would think you were crazy. The whole movie or book that we're going to develop could start on a shrink's couch with this shrink trying to get this person's wacky, to get this person to understand that there's no way that they experience these things that nobody else experienced.
Right, so they're telling their own personal history through their memories, but anything and everything they're talking about in this current world has never existed.
Right.
Because somebody went back and changed the timeline, and it happens to be me, the person laying on the couch.
Oh, I love it. You got... Listen, Doc, let me explain. I know you're...
Dude, that's like some 12 monkey shit right there.
Hell yeah! Let me lay it all out for you one more time before you commit me to the loony bin, and then it's like a flashback to everything that happened. There I was playing Xbox 360 when it hit me. Okay, so you created the most advanced machine ever invented by man so you could have a better gaming console? Yeah. Couldn't you just made a better gaming console? Oh. I love it.
Now we just got... Are we going to put that out in 3D or no?
The movie?
Well, because if we go back in time, it's probably way... what is it, 12D now?
Well, we're going to go back in time with modern 3D and get rid of those red and white glasses, those red and blue glasses that we had to deal with back in the day. So yeah, we would have 15D by the time we came back to the present time.
Okay, now think about that. And I know this is off topic, but that span of technology from red and blue to polarized lenses in 50 years, and that's the only advancements? That seems ridiculous. So I think we need to jump back in time and fix that.
Actually, yeah, you've identified a clear need there, because the red and blue was such a bad experience that 3D just stopped. It was taken as a cheesy gimmick and abandoned, because I don't want a red and blue lens over my eyes. That's stupid.
I think the movies they made in 3D had a little something to do with it not being taken seriously.
Whatever. That's could you true. Mean. Didn't they make King Kong in 3D or something like that?
There was a bunch of old, 50s...
Like Shockma or something.
Oh, Shockma's about that killer monkey, isn't it?
Wasn't that in 3D, though?
Probably. It sounds like a movie that should be in 3D. Shockma.
Shockma! Ka-ka-ka-ka!
Oh, did I ever tell you... Did I ever tell you about the greatest idea ever for a movie? It's a mix of Cher and Shakira called... called Sharkira.
Nice.
It's based on Shockma.
Sweet.
I can't take full credit for me. That was a collaboration between my friend Josh and I. Best movie idea ever. Look for it in theaters. I'm going to go back in time and plant that in some director's head.
All right, so let's actually get serious for a quick second.
Yes.
Good luck.
Is there any historical event that you would like to zap back and witness?
I would like to go back and witness the technical achievements, like the first light bulb ever lighting up, or I mean, just shooting from the hip, there's a billion historical things, but being kind of geeky and into technology, I'd like to witness something like that. I'd like to witness the first graphical user interfaces being developed at places like the, you know, Xerox Park and all that kind of stuff. Just, I'd like to go back and see these milestones.
Believe it or not, I have a regret. This is so weird. It was such a big moment in my young life. It was like fourth grade, and it was the shuttle launch.
Oh yeah,
the Challenger.
Yeah,
and I remember it. I was in class, and they were kind of like getting ready, but the TV was in one of the big rooms, and they're like, "Okay, go in here, but you can just stay and do whatever you want if you want." And I was like, I've seen this thing 1,000 times. I'm not going to watch this one. And I stayed and like played with Play-Doh or something like that. So I actually didn't see that happen.
I actually have a story about that too. I was in high school at the time, and I had taken the day off because me and a couple of my friends were going to drive up there and watch that one. And my buddy ended up selling me out, so we didn't go. But of course, I didn't go to school. I still stayed home. So I was just hanging out, watching it on TV, and where I lived in Boca, you could walk right out onto the street that my house was on and look due north, and you could see every single shuttle, every single time. It was pretty badass. And like what Brian just said, I was just kind of like, I've seen it a million times. So I think I flicked channels, came back, and saw this weird cloud, and I was like, what the fuck is that? So I walked outside, and then like you could see it in midair like that.
Oh,
it was
God.
Fucking gruesome. So it was kind of weird.
Speaking of that event in particular, and now I feel stupid wanting to go watch light bulbs. And
no, Tom, I'm totally on board with yours, except for I hate Edison. But you know, I would have liked to have seen like Tesla do his first presentation, or Leon Theremin showcasing the theremin for the very first time and hearing the first like electronic instrument being played, and how fucking mind-blowing that would have been.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
hear an electronic sound
and you understanding where like the significance would have
understanding and appreciation of my knowledge of today to go back and yeah, that would be sick.
So to give you my take on the Challenger disaster, we were on a field trip when it happened, and when we got back to school, they informed us all. And if I could change one thing about it, it wouldn't be that we went on a field trip or anything like that, even though I don't remember what the field trip was, because the whole class was grieving together. What I would change is that my conduct as a little fat boy. And to explain, we got back, we went into the cafeteria, and they had McDonald's hamburgers, like hundreds of them that they'd gotten for the whole class. I'm like, what a treat. And if there's anything a fat kid likes, it's McDonald's. Well, they had all these hamburgers, and everybody could have one. And there were enough, like, so some kids could have two. So everybody's, like, all crying and upset and everything, like, that the Challenger, and I'm kind of bummed out, too. And they're like, does anybody want another hamburger? I mean, you know, and half the kids weren't eating, and they were so sad. So my fat ass is me. And I walked out and got, like, two more hamburgers. Everybody else is like, and I was sad. I had tears in my eyes. It was like such a sad day. But I mean, there's like free hamburgers, man.
Holy shit!
So like, I wish I could go back in time. Like, hey, fat boy, listen, you're gonna get plenty of hamburgers in your lifetime. Let's just sit here and grieve. Let's be human.
It's time to revel in this revealing moment.
So sorry to kind of hijack your Challenger moment with that, Brian. Oh, God. Not my finest moment.
So Tom feels bad for being a greedy, hungry, fat kid. I feel bad for being so fucking old that I was in high school and you guys were in fucking elementary school. God damn.
Well, a handful of years during school is like a lifetime, you know?
True, true.
And we all feel bad that even after that, we all feel bad that that wasn't the last space shuttle disaster. That should have been the last space shuttle disaster. You know, they got not to fault the engineers who were all, you know, brilliant people, but you know, again, we suffered another disaster years later due to just an oversight. You know, because when once things like that start to become routine,
right,
the opportunity for failure creeps in. So I'd go back in time and instead of eating another hamburger, I would go to NASA and cry and say, please never let this happen again. And that would stick in the mind of the engineers and we'd never have that problem again.
Nice.
Well, guys, now that we took a serious detour, do you have any other time travel experiences in terms of, you know, media or anything, or any thoughts of practical applications for time travel that we can maybe talk about?
Could there be? I mean, because you're disrupting. I was thinking about this earlier with practical applications. And, you know, I started getting time travel confused with teleportation. So,
oh, okay.
So, it with the fact that you are traveling through time, like you're going somewhere and then coming back, what could be practical? Like what kind of, aside from changing history, winning, I mean, you'd have to take out those types of things. But is there at the core of this any real practical application?
Other than monkeying with history, which I think is just going to open up a million more possibilities and isn't going to really ultimately fix anything, I don't see any practical reason to go back. I see only selfish reasons to go back in time.
Right.
I don't think there's any way you save. Okay, the only practical use I could ever see for time travel is if someday we figured out a way to stop everybody who, you know, from dying and then went back in time, back to the beginning of humanity and saved every single person. But then that would F up the timeline and we'd never get to that point, right?
Right.
Unless you accept the premise that every little change you make spawns a completely different
universe. A different set of circumstances definitely would happen. But first and foremost, if nobody was dying, I don't even think that our generation would have even made it.
People just wouldn't have kids, yeah.
There'd be no room. I mean, right. look what happens in China, modern day. And that's just one place.
To spur change, though, because we would basically have to focus on the space program and colonize other planets.
It's true.
Yeah.
But we'll become miserably warlike. That would be bad.
That's more likely what would happen.
I think a lot of human ingenuity is spawned from the fact that we have such a limited time to make an impact here, you know? And if you've got now centuries, oh, I'll do something productive in a few hundred years. Right now I'm going to loaf around. But then again, I'm speaking from the standpoint of a very mediocre person. So I don't know if that's necessarily universally true. Can you guys think of any practical applications to going forward in time?
I don't know if it'd be going forward or if it'd be going backwards. I'm positive there's got to be some energy generation potential in one of them.
You mean getting a better source of energy from the future or the past?
Or perhaps just fueling a source of energy.
I've got it. You go back and you take all of the oil from today with you, and then you bury it in the ground like back in prehistoric times, so that by the time we get back to these times, we have oil from all the dead things back then, plus super oil, which has been in the ground even longer.
So we only have to use half as much of it.
Right, because it's like 180 octane.
It's concentrated, like Tide.
I'm pretty sure that's how oil works. It just ages like wine. So if it was twice as old, it would be twice as powerful.
Maybe.
Super oil.
Okay, now that brings up to what I was going to bring to the table when Brian was talking about energy sources. But this could be with energy sources. It could be with medical research and stuff like that. Do you think it would be better to take a modern-day problem and bring it to the future, Like, if you could send one person with a laundry list of problems, do you think it'd be better to send them to the future and say, hey guys, these are the problems we had back in our times. Whichever isn't fixed needs to be fixed. Can you do it with your modern technology? Or do you go to the past and say, hey guys, I'm from the future. These are the problems that we're going to run into. We need to prevent them now.
I'm much more comfortable going into the future.
Yeah, I'd rather fuck with somebody else's past than my own. As selfish as that sounds.
Learning a lot about ourselves in this episode.
Well, think about it. Like, we all know from sci-fi that messing with your own past is bad, but screw those future people. I don't know them.
Okay, I forgot to put on the addendum that you are not wearing a red shirt, so you're safe. I mean, do you think they would have a better chance of... Take the timeline effects out, but do you think they would have a better chance of solving it in the future, or a better chance of preventing it by visiting the past?
I think you would be an agent of change going to the past. You would be like a supplicant, if that's the right word, going to the future, begging these people for their help. You know what I mean?
Then right, what they're doing in the future wouldn't help me, wouldn't help my time that I just left.
Right,
but right. So that would be more of a humanitarian cause. It's like, I am the bringer of death from the past. But then they could just look at me and be like, yo, it didn't kill us yet. Fuck off, guy.
Right.
It could work out really poorly, too, where they're like, oh, fuck, a common cold, and all die.
Could be like, yeah, like we lost immunity to that when we cured all the colds, and then you showed up and killed us all. Not my problem. I'm going back to the past where I live, but give me some technology before I leave. I think either way, you create I'm probably using the wrong words here, but these what I'll call like emergent loops, where for every 500 problems you address, 500 more spring up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd be chasing your own tail either way, or somebody'd be chasing your tail, or you'd be chasing someone's tail. I don't think you'd ever solve every problem because of all the eventualities of changing things. You know what
I mean? Yeah, and I guess taking that out of the equation isn't really going to help come up with an answer, because taking that out of the equation just creates different problems to think about. So,
right.
But they're much worse problems.
Yeah.
They're apocalyptic problems as opposed to
now
inconveniences.
That said,
but that's what I was just trying to think of, a way that would be a practical application where you could send somebody to the future or to the past to help save humanity, whether it be before you or after you.
If it came down to it, if you were faced with the extinction of mankind, and you somehow had it in your power to go back and forestall that, and it meant changing time,
and you had to make the decision, forward or back, which would you choose?
Well, if you are the one facing down, like you have a pretty definitive this is the end of mankind date, you'd want to go back to try to warn people early.
Oh, yeah, right.
But here's another. If a time traveler came back to you and asked for your help, telling you that mankind was going to die in 100,000 years, you know, would you help him or her? I mean, I guess I would. Why wouldn't you, right? To save future humanity, even though you don't know them.
Of course, anybody would.
I don't. Well, I don't know. We won't even stop driving SUVs. So I'm not. We're pretty.
Oh,
sure
I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's not like a give me $5 or here, take this flash drive.
Right.
We need to change, and then you'd be a one man crusade of trying to make people live lives differently.
You know, I mean,
you laugh at hippies from the 60s, and that was like an entire generation trying to change something. You're just one idiot. It's like, stop doing this.
Now that I think about it, either the future traveler coming back to our time or us traveling back to the past, you'd have to bring cool technology and stuff, because you'd have to bribe the selfish assholes into getting off their butts and doing anything for you.
Pretty much.
Where I come from, we have no more atmosphere because of all the pollution. Yeah? All right, here's an Xbox 96,000. Will that do it? Yeah, okay, I'll help you now. What do you want me to do? That's the only thing that would get people to help you. Okay, so final, I guess, question. Given that we kind of have identified absurd possibilities and possibly the futility of time travel, if pick magical alien being, whatever you want, of your choice, walked up to you and said, listen, you know, here's a time machine. It will take you into the future. It will take you into the past. You can do anything you want once you're there. Would you do it? Would you, just you as an individual, knowing, take all the time you want to think about it, could you see yourself hopping in that sucker, dialing in numbers and going for it?
And it's not going to create any problems. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. It's just kind of like the same kind of idea. If they asked me, would I go on the shuttle, would I go?
Well, let's just say, take into account everything we said, because what, you know, I think messing with time would be a serious deal. The space shuttle would be a no-brainer. I would say yes no matter what.
All right, well, I would only do it if I was going back as myself and reliving, not just visiting.
Okay,
like,
going
like
back.
If I went back to, like, if I could pick a timeline to go forward in my life and continue living my life from that point, or to go back to a point in my life and I would de-age and all that and relive, I would choose relive.
Okay, so you'd go back and occupy your body again with all the knowledge and wisdom you have now.
Even without it, I still would.
Okay. Okay.
But if I had the choice, I'd take it with me.
Well, yeah, otherwise you'd probably just do all the same stuff again.
Exactly.
And you wouldn't appreciate it. What about you, Brian?
Fuck the consequences. I want a pet T-Rex.
What if you go back and they find like the T-Rex, like all of our fossil stuff's wrong, and it's like just a giant chicken?
I actually had pet chickens once. They're cool enough. I'd be happy.
Come here, Crowy. Oh, boy. I would do it, I guess. I mean, what the hell? At the end of the day...
Forward or backwards?
I would... again, I would go forward because I know what happened in the past. I have no idea what's going to happen in the future. I can't wreck the past by going into the future. Although I can wreck the past for the people who were in the future of the future to which I go. So if I go to the year 3000, the people in the year 4000 might be adversely affected. But everybody from here to 3000 is good to go.
All right. Well, see, I completely encased this in a Rick-safe scenario so that I could go back and relive the 80s and enjoy them again. So taking all that out of the equation and going with the actual question and parameters, logic, and everything else involved with that, risks included, I'd go to the future.
Cool.
As long as I didn't go to the future and then I'm dead. Like, if I go to the future and I'm 35, I want to show up there and I'm 35.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's no... It's you showing up. It's okay. Not you, like, 35,000-year-old Rick, like, fossil comes tumbling out of the time machine and dies. No.
I just needed to make sure.
No. Everything stays relative for you, so you just age like a minute or whatever. No big deal.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Cool. So we've got Tom and Rick on board for going into the future, Brian for going back and getting ill-advised pets from the past. I think we reached consensus that we of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast have no respect for the natural passage of time and would tinker with it given the opportunity.
Just for fun.
But I'll tell you whose time we do have respect for, that of our audience. So I think we are going to wind this episode down. I recommend that all of our listeners fire up iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate it favorably, and thinking back to all the positive experiences they've had in life for inspiration, write us an outstanding review.
And if you don't like the iTunes, you can just head on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can download the show, rate the show, stream the show, or send us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And they can find us on Facebook, don't forget.
And with that said, folks, it's time for us to fire up the old Nerdstravaganza time machine and travel to that crucial juncture in the space-time continuum where we can ensure world
peace!